Lord to help us, especially me. I don't even know where I am. Okay. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you that men were out in the parking lot watching and saw this fellow and what he was doing. Remind us, Lord, to lock up our vehicles, to take care of our possessions, because indeed, Lord, you have given them to us, and we need to be wise stewards. I pray for this fellow that's broken in, Lord, that he might come to Christ, that he might turn over a new leaf, that you might draw him to yourself. We know that he's desperate, and so today we have lots of desperate people, so I pray that you might work in his heart and bring him to truth. Now we look to you, Lord, because we just all have piles of stuff in our life. And every time I get into the book of Isaiah, it seems like it's talking to me. And wow, there are so many things that we need to learn. So help each of us, Lord, especially those that are new to Scripture, not to panic, not to be overwhelmed by who's who, but to just kind of pick up the principles as we go along. Lord, you want to speak to each of us. Lord, we're still now, and we're listening to your sweet voice, and we want to hear it. We want to hear your voice, Lord, before we leave here today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up to Jerusalem to make war against it, but could not prevail against it. And it was told to the house of David, saying, Syria's forces are deployed in Ephraim. So his heart and the heart of the people were moved like the trees of the woods are moved with the wind. They were, in other words, they were shaking. They were very, very disturbed. So I think the best thing for me to do is give you just a little bit of background, and I'm short on time, but I'll go through it pretty quick. This is the nation of Israel. It goes back to the time of the judges. Just ignore that. But when the 12 tribes came into the land of Israel under Joshua, remember they were punished out in the boonies for 40 years, and they all died off, and then Joshua brought them into the land. And so you're going to pick up this word Ephraim. By the time of our lesson today, Ephraim has taken a much larger portion. So sometimes the people call the north Ephraim. Don't get confused. It's the northern part. All the northern part comes Israel. And Judah's down here. Judah eventually absorbs Simeon. And why we call them Jews today is because this is the only tribe that we really know about. So how did this country become divided? It's very simple. They pleaded with God a long time ago for a king. And God gave them a king. His name was Saul. He was tall, good-looking. He was dark, tall, good-looking. Handsome. You know, just like women vote. I'm sorry, I couldn't resist that. And but he was not a very good king. He began to be very threatened by David, and he felt David was going to take over his kingdom, and of course that was true. God was going to continue the line under David, not under Saul. So he chased David for years and years, and we studied that when we studied the life of David. Then David had the next king, which is named Solomon. And to Solomon, he built this huge temple. That's the first temple. It was built after the tabernacle. And that was down here in Jerusalem, in the tribe of Judah. But Solomon, like so many kings, started taxing his people terribly, and he put a lot of people into forced labor. And the people didn't like it. So after Solomon died, the country split in two. And the north would be everything above Judah, and they called that Israel. Sometimes they called it Ephraim. And don't get fussed up about that. That's just the northern section. They went into idolatry immediately. They set up a golden calf in Samaria. They sent up another golden calf up here in Dan. And you say, how come there's two Dans? Well, eventually this one disappears, and they just have the one tribe of Dan in the north, very small tribe. So that's how they divided. And so down here is the capital, and where the thingy-bob, the temple is, sorry. Oh, well. So a lot of time has gone by, and last King Uzziah was pretty good. But he tried to take over the priest and went into the temple, and he was struck with leprosy. So he died a leper by himself. And then his son, this Ahaz, he's a nasty guy. When it says it passed through the fire, that meant he sacrificed his child to the god of Molech. Several gods all sacrificed their children. That would guarantee you good crops or good life or whatever. I was going to say it's very much like today, isn't it? You know, we just can't afford another child. So, what's going on here in your lesson is the king of Ephraim has joined forces with Assyria. Not Assyria, Syria. I'll have you totally confused by the time you leave. I'm working on it. It's clear up here. Anyway, you can see the Assyrian Empire, actually their headquarters is Babylon, and they're going to come, their headquarters is Nineveh, and they're going to come full strength. But what we don't know, what Ahaz doesn't realize is God knows that King Ahaz has made an alliance with the Assyrian Empire to help come and beat out Syria. Now Syria has made an alliance with the king here in the northern part of Israel, or Manasseh, but Ephraim, as was said in your scriptures. So actually what he's putting together is a civil war. It's not a good thing. Isn't it interesting how all this stuff is also in the news today? It's just interesting. Well, in verse 3, the Lord commands Isaiah, go out now and meet Ahaz, you and Shear-Jashub, your son, at the end of the aqueduct from the upper pool on the highway to the fuller's field, and say to him, take heed and be quiet. Do not fear or be faint-hearted, for these two stubs of smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of Rezin and Syria and the son of Remaliah, because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have plotted evil against you, saying, let us go up against Judah and trouble it, and let us make a gap in its wall for ourselves and set a king over them, the son of Tabal. Interesting, isn't it? So he goes out to meet him, and he takes his son, Shear-Jashub, which means the remnant will return. Can you imagine calling that out of your kitchen window? Shear-Jashub! Anyway, and give an encouraging word from the Lord at the end of the aqueduct of the upper pool. Isaiah is supposed to tell the king not to worry about Syria and Ephraim. They're just a couple of smoking brands. Just think of it like a fireplace where you have a couple of pieces of wood and they're just smoking. Nothing serious. But no one knows except the Lord that the king had already made a secret alliance with and a treaty with Assyria. The big A is the big group up above. And the king was planning power politics. He was playing it, and instead of trusting the power of God, Syria and Ephraim planned to overthrow King Ahaz and put a puppet son on the throne. So Ahaz was very, very frightened man. He had heard this, and he was just panicky. So you go home today, and you find yourself in a mess. I don't know. It could be anything. Let's see. The doctors told you you're health isn't very good and you probably won't have long to live. That could be a problem. Your husband could hand you divorce papers and you didn't see it coming and you weren't expecting it. Your child has flunked third grade and now is going to have to repeat it. Whatever the problem is, we all have them. And they all come in various sizes and various weights. It's really a problem. And you say, I don't know what to do. So you go to the phone. And anybody that's been in my teaching knows better than that. You go to the throne. If you go to the phone, you're asking for man's help. Is man? But you don't know my Aunt Mabel. She's really smart. Besides, if I tell her all my problems, she's going to... it's like I can get rid of some of it. No. Go in the bathroom, lock the door, get down on your face before the Lord and say, God, I got a mess in my hands. What am I to do? And you begin to claim promises. Years ago, when my daughter was in the hospital for almost 4 weeks, I didn't know what to do. So I did all I could do. I went into the Word of God and I found promises. And each day I found another promise and another promise. And I kept those. That became a treasure to me because I didn't know she was going to pull through it, but she did. I've been in a few tough church situations. You get on the phone, what are you doing? You're just spreading gossip. Much better to get down on your knees and say, God, this is what's going on in this church situation, and I can't do anything about it, and they're destroying my reputation, or they kicked me out of this job I really enjoy, or you know, whatever. Churches are so lovely. So what do? You get me on the phone and please don't do that. Get on your knees. Get alone with God. And you say, well, I don't know anything in Scripture. Well, just open up to the book of Psalms and say, God, I just need something from you. And he's going to talk to you. He's going to speak to your heart. Oh, does it mean you're going to be really joyful and happy? No, you may have tears running down your face. You may not be able to stop those tears. That's all right. God collects them in his bottle. Some of you have big jugs. In fact, I think that's why the ocean is salty. A lot of crying going on in this world. So, toughy, tough, tough. So here's old King Ahaz trying to play politics, and it's so wrong. But the thing that he discounted is God is not ready to wipe out Judah. He's not ready to wipe out Jerusalem. So God has another plan. Anytime you see "but God" in Scripture, read it again, because he has something in it for you to read that he wants you to know. He's not ready to let those people be wiped out or go into captivity. They were never going to go into captivity through Assyria. They were going to go into captivity through Babylon. Babylon would wipe out Assyria and then take over. And God let them take over Jerusalem and destroy the temple. Well, it's interesting that they met at the water source of the city. I'm sure Ahaz went out there to make sure no one was poisoning the water and to see if it was flowing correctly. And but, you know, it's so symbolic because one day the water of life from the line of the tribe of David is going to come. He would be the Lord Jesus Christ. He would be the one that gives the water of life. Remember the woman at the well? She had seven husbands, and the one that she was living with wasn't her husband. God went away, out of his way to talk to her. He loves us, and if you're broken, he loves you even more. So anyway, Ahaz was shaking with fear, but Isaiah came with a message of assurance, and that was found in verses 7, 8, and 9. Thus says the Lord God, it shall not stand, nor shall it come to pass. For the head of Syria, that's the little one, is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin, that's the king. Within 65 years, Ephraim will be broken. Ephraim was the northern tribes. They only lasted 200 years. They never went back to the Lord. They worshipped idolatry from the time Jeroboam took over. Very tragic thing, but God waited 200 years. You think he isn't long-suffering? You think he isn't the one that wants to encourage you? He is. Verse 9, it says, so that will be a people. The head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If you will not believe, surely you shall not be established. It's interesting. You say, well, so what? What does that mean to me? But you have to know, when you come up to the time of Christ, the Jews had nothing to do with Samaritans because they were a mixed bag of religion. And so they shunned them. I think that's why it's so fun to read the Good Samaritan story, because the Lord doesn't shun the Samaritans. You know, we can be kind of ippity-uppity with our religiosity, and it's not good. Anyway, so Isaiah tells him to ask for a sign, and Ahaz says, I will not ask, nor I will test the Lord. And I wrote in my Bible, boo. Oh, dear. Then Isaiah says, hear now, O house of David, it's not a small thing for you to weary men, but will you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign, a great big one. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. She'll call his name Emmanuel. Curds and honey he shall eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. Before the child shall know how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land you dread will be forsaken by both her kings. This is a very, very big prophecy. So he should have been at peace with the whole thing. Faith in God's promises is for us. You say, well, how do I know that Isaiah is true? How do I know that these promises are for me? Well, in Israel today, there's a museum called the Shrine of the Book. It's a wonderful museum to visit because it's in the shape of a jar. It has all the rings around inside, and you go into it. Now, it's on hydraulics, so if there's a war in Israel or a bomb comes or a war of any sort, the whole thing goes down underneath the ground. Wow. Why is it so valuable? Well, I'll pass these around because I know you can't see it, but they have made it just like the inside of the scroll, like a scroll, and this big brown thing here is the handle of the scroll. What is around this whole museum thing is the whole entire scroll of the book of Isaiah. It is 100 years before Christ. How accurate is your scripture? I'll tell you. You think it changes over the years? No. The Isaiah scroll found in Cave 1 at Qumran, and that's just outside of the Dead Sea, presents a great example of accurate translation transmission. This extraordinary manuscript is believed to predate the birth of Jesus Christ by 100 years. It was a scroll like that Jesus used when he read the following in the village synagogue at Nazareth. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He continued reading. Then he would have handed the scroll back to the attendant and sat down. While all eyes were fixed on him, Jesus declared that portion of scripture fulfilled in their ears. Thus he clearly declared himself to be God's Messiah, come to offer salvation to all who would receive it. The same passage, translated into English, directly from the thousand-year-old Isaiah scroll discovered in Qumran, is nearly identical. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because Yahweh has anointed me to preach good tidings to the weak. Now, I actually like the word weak better because I certainly was a bumbling, stumbling, blubbery, weak person when I came to Christ. So the integrity of the claim as written in our Bibles is confirmed. So you say, well, I don't know. Well, I'm going to pass this around to this side, and I'll pass the magazine part around to this side. You can trust the Word of God. 100 years before Christ was even born. And why can I double say that? Because my son spent a year learning at the Hebrew University, taking further studies, and he went to the museum and read the entire scripture in Hebrew. And he says, Mom, it is so amazing to read it. So it's just like the one you have in your hand. Oh, there's a little difference in translations, but you can trust it. Faith in God's promise is the only way to find peace of mind. If you're sitting here today and you're troubled and you have no peace because perhaps your house went into foreclosure or because this happened or that happened, you must get into the Word of God because God has promised you'll keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. That's found in Isaiah 26:3. Then I had something else I wanted to share with you. No. Faith in God's promises is what you've got, and hang on to it. And I say it, it's not with happiness or joy, but sometimes it is. But other times your tears can be just pouring down your face. Tough. Christian walk's a tough walk. In fact, it's impossible unless you have the Holy Spirit of God within you. No way else you can do it. Well, in God's eyes, the two threatening kings were nothing but two smoldering stubs of firewood. They'd be dead soon. Also, Ephraim in the north would be gone forever. Very sobering. Assyria would defeat Syria and invade Israel. That would be in 722 BC. They deported many of the northern Israelites, and then they brought Gentiles in. So by 669, the whole place was a mess of religiosity of this kind and that kind. So by the time of Christ, they didn't want anything to do with them because their religion was so mixed. It's and the nation, of course, never existed again. All we have is Judah. And eventually Judah would be wiped out by Babylon. But we're not going that far this year. We're just taking it piece by piece with Isaiah. Ahaz shouldn't have feared. God has never asked anyone to believe anything that does not rest on a foundation. Faith does not mean to move blindly into some area and say, oh, I'm trusting the Lord. That would be foolish. God never asks for you to do that. Our faith rests upon the historical facts of death, burial, and resurrection of the Son of God. God never asks you to take a leap in the dark. Our trust rests upon a firm foundation, the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, for no other foundation can anyone lay that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any person is honest, an honest unbeliever, and says, wants to know God, she will come to saving faith. I know this. I've seen it happen. I did have that happen. I really want to know God. Searching for the truth. But I knew this gal once who was searching for the truth. At least she said she was. But she was living with this guy, and the guy was married. And she said, I never asked her to give up that relationship, but I really doubted if she was sincere. Because she said she was searching for truth, but her very actions belied that. No one is blindfolded unless they choose to be. If you want to know God and will give up your sin, God will make himself real to you. There's just a lot of people who do not mean business with God. Now, I know just the opposite. I know a couple that were living together. They just decided they lived together. So many today that are doing that. But they came to Christ. And the amazing thing is they looked at each other and said, oh, we shouldn't be doing this. So they split up and eventually they got married. God honors that. God honors that, your obedience. I was so happy. My favorite song got sung today. Oh, great. Where Joni is, I don't know. Debbie, I really appreciate it. Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Do you know there's only one song on obedience? And that's it. But that song helped me get baptized and do a lot of other stuff. That give up smoking and a few other things. Anyway, God knows Ahaz does not have faith, but God is willing to give this king faith. Do you realize that? I just find that so amazing. He's so long-suffering. He's so generous. He's so gracious. He's so full of mercy. But King Ahaz just, he's nothing but a pious fraud. And there's people like that around today. They live in their own life 6 days a week, and then they look pretty pious on Sunday morning. But listen to him in verse 12. Let's see. Well, you heard that already. Yeah, he thinks he's pretty hot stuff by not asking the Lord for a sign. But he's bad news. If Ahaz had believed God, now this is the most important thing. If Ahaz had believed God's promises, he would have broken his alliance with Assyria and called his nation to prayer and praise. But the king continued in his unbelief. I just find that amazing. You know, when you say, well, I want something more than just promises out of God's word. Well, that's a thought, but, you know, it is powerful. God's word brought all of creation into existence. It has the power to change your life. It has the power to give you encouragement. It has the power to just love on you. And here's this guy, he refuses to bring his country to their knees, and he needed to. But you see, he secretly had allied himself with the king of Assyria. And he's never going to get help from him. In fact, he's going to get wiped out by him, almost. It'll be under Hezekiah when 150,000 of Assyria's soldiers will surround the city of Jerusalem, and Isaiah comes out and says not one bow and arrow will be fired. And that's exactly what happens, because Hezekiah goes to his knees. He fasts and prays and lays out all the problems, and he seeks God's face, and God answered prayer. So you may have trouble at your door. Get down on your knees and ask God, oh God, give me a verse to hang on to during this trying time. So, and the hard part for me was that this Ahaz had sacrificed to other gods on an altar. And he liked the altar so much that he had it remade and brought to the temple and put it inside the temple and sacrificed there. It's like you going to church and having some medium standing up in front of you. And may I say, that medium that's on TV, that's so cute, and she just has all such a gift from God, and she just tells you all these things. If you've ever watched the Long Island medium, I think that's her name. What a fraud. Please know that mediums don't come from God, even though she gives credit to God. And she's very charming. She can suck you in like anything. But God isn't into mediums. You can find that everywhere in Scripture. Get on your face before the Lord. Get into Scripture. That's how God speaks to us today. And so that would be like going to your church Sunday and you've got this medium in church, or you've got a new altar it has fire in its belly, and they're asking you to sacrifice your children. I mean, it's just so awful. So Ahaz honestly asked the Lord for a special sign. Well, he got it right in the gizzard, didn't he? The Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive. This is the prophecy of Emmanuel. And don't be worried if your scripture says I and another Bible says E. It's both the same person. Of course, the ultimate fulfillment of this prophecy is in our Lord Jesus Christ, who is God with us. Matthew 1:18 through 25 and Luke 1:31 through 35. The virgin birth of Christ is a key doctrine, for if Jesus Christ is not God come in the sinless human flesh, then we have no Savior. We have nothing. Remember, the bloodline is passed on by the Father. There is no place. In fact, let me stop there a second. I know we're running over, but I have a son that has negative blood. Where'd he get that? He got that from his grandfather. Passed to his dad, passed to my son. Very interesting. So the bloodline is passed on. This is why God could take a virgin and have a child by her. The virgin birth of Christ is a key doctrine, for if Jesus Christ is not God come in sinless human flesh, then we have no Savior. That's so important to realize. There's no place in the Gospels where Jesus is called Emmanuel. You ever notice that? You ever studied the four Gospels? He's never called Emmanuel. Because he's always called Jesus, because he would save his people from their sins. He cannot save his people from their sins unless he is Emmanuel. Isn't that super duper? I love it. I always wondered about that. Well, I wanted to go to your lesson a minute just to wrap up a couple things at the end. It says, the land that flowed with milk and honey, what would it become? It would become a mess. How could it have been different? Obedience. And you know, today you might be sitting here and you say, my life's a mess. And I haven't really obeyed the Lord. I haven't been in his word. I haven't been studying it. And I've done this and this and this. There isn't a person here today that can't agree with question 11a. Are you suffering anything right now due to disobeying the Lord? I am down, probably. Because it just kind of goes along with it, doesn't it? God doesn't get our attention unless something drastic happens. So what are we to do? Confess our sins. But the next part is what I wanted to give you. What do you do about the consequences? If you've had a very messy divorce, if you've had an abortion, if you've had some major thing in your life, how can you get rid of those memories? And this is where God was so precious to me, by taking me back into my life, and I would confess it as long. I'd go back all the way till 2 when I ate ant poison disobeying my parents. I had to confess that, and I came all the way up. And then I said, Lord, here's this memory, and it haunts me, and I just ask that you might cover it, and you might bless my heart and change it. Help me not to think about it. And the Lord just so softly said, don't keep going back over it. Don't keep rehearsing it. And aren't we prone as women to keep rehearsing things and keep rehearsing? Oh, and she said this, and he did this, and by the way, da-da-da-da-da. And we're constantly stewing. And don't do that. Ask God to help you to remove those memories, to heal them over. It's really important, because otherwise you'll be crippled in your life. We had two questions come in the question box. Is anybody in a real jam? I'll do as fast as I can. Hey, Bobby, go ahead. What is the support of the statement Satan will have access to heaven? Are there differing views of this, or this is among is this among a certain group of believers? No, just go to Job 1:6-12. Satan had access to the Lord. That's why the seraphim had that big job guarding God's holiness. And the other question. Maybe we're not going to get it anyway. I know I got it in here. I wish I could remember it. So much has happened this morning, it's a wonder I'm still functioning. No, I don't have the other one for some reason. I'll try to take it next week. Father God, we just thank you and praise you because you're a holy God and you're amazingly involved in our lives. You love us to death, dying on the cross for the likes of us. How can we ever thank you and praise you enough? Lord, you give us a future and a hope, and that it's not this world only, and the best is yet to come. And we love you, Lord, for taking away our sins. We thank you, Lord, that you are the one that heals memories. You're the one that directs our path through the Word of God. Help us, Lord. Deliver us from going to the phone first. Help us to go to your Word first. Help us to see the life-giving power that's in your Word. And Lord, we'll simply give you all the praise. And I know there's some here today that are just really under it. God, may this week, may they have some victory. May they have some blessings from your Holy Spirit to see how you lift the burden. You are the burden bearer. We are not built to carry burdens. So remove those burdens from them. And we'll simply give you all the praise forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen.